Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is serial killer Carl Eugene Watts, better known as the Sunday Morning Slasher, because he committed most of his dastardly deeds on Sunday mornings, thus the name, Colonel.
Sunday Morning Slasher.
Should have been at church. He should have been getting church in.
He should have been getting church in, and that's what one of the reasons that I'm telling you, you need to get yourself to church, girl.
Yeah. Oh, me? Mm-hmm. No, I'm good. Thank you.
So, we're going to talk about Mr. Watts and all of his dastardly deeds, but before we do, let me introduce our esteemed panel. I'm happy to be joined today by the very lovely and talented, a woman who really needs no introduction, a woman who is known for all the good that she does in the world. She's sort of the Mother Teresa.
No, we got the devil. We got you.
I forgot. Brittany's not here.
Brittany's not here today.
Yeah, she's still in rehab.
She's still in rehab.
Instead, we have with us the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Mistress of the Macabre, the Empress of Evil, and Satan's
dirty little secret.
And whore.
Wow.
Brandy.
And I was wondering.
No, you haven't been introduced yet.
Yeah, you're not here yet.
You can shut your cake hole for just a minute. You haven't been introduced. Happy Rex Manning Day, everybody. If you don't get that reference, that's a shame. You should really look it up. But today is Rex Manning Day. I have celebrated all day long.
Who is Rex Manning for our listeners who might not be as hip as you?
Well, they have to look it up. Everybody is as hip as me because I am not that hip.
Well, okay. Happy Peyton Manning Day.
No.
Brandy, no. How are you?
I'm fine.
I want to say, I really want to apologize to our listeners because the last podcast that we put out, we did not have the sound quality that we normally, the high quality of sound that we have. Because we were unable to do, normally we podcast in your office, as you know.
Right.
But we were unable to do so last time, and so we had to move to the Colonel's office, which is a piece of shit. And it was very loud. He apparently, his office is...
It's quite a noisy compound in there.
It really is. And it interfered with our podcast. We would have just rescheduled. However, we had your brother, young Casey, Mighty Casey.
Casey's a wonderful kid.
He is. And we get lots of compliments on whenever he's on the show. So, Casey, thank you for joining us last time. And we promise next time you come that we will not have crappy sound when you come. But we did not want to reschedule because Casey was here and he made quite a trip to join us, and so we went ahead with the show, but we're just sorry for we apologize the sound last time was not up to the standards that we'd like to
it's pretty low bar.
Well, we have low bar for our standards, true, but
and you know
we do try to do we treat a little better quality sound.
You like Casey?
I like Casey, and I just wonder, I mean, clearly.
You still haven't been introduced
parents,
yet in order to talk.
Oh, could you introduce me so I could talk now?
Yeah, okay.
Could the chair recognize the Colonel?
Yeah, come on.
I would also like to introduce a man who, I think that the world is getting to know and love.
Yeah.
A man who has struggled with impotence. Who has struggled with bloody stool, but he's still standing.
He perseveres.
His wiener's not standing, but he's still standing.
Yes.
I will have my wiener standing, and I can get my wiener standing in 4 seconds.
No. No, you cannot.
The very charming, the delightful, the baddest man, in, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing wonderful, Timmy, except you decided to do a podcast at 3 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, we're trying to mix things up a little bit. Hopefully we won't be, we won't get interrupted.
And then you tell us to be engaging and charming before the...
So many demands.
At what point?
I'm just saying, sometimes you guys go through the motions and you don't really put a lot into the show, and remember, we're doing this for our listeners.
Yeah, because you're a ball of fire all the time.
I'm just saying, we're doing this for our listeners. They look forward to our podcast, and I don't want you guys to mail it in. I want you to be engaging, be funny, be charming. So just try
something different.
Yeah, try something different.
So do you want part of the signing bonus you gave me back to me? Is that what you want?
Shit.
I mean,
I just want you.
Am I in threat of a pay cut of some sort if I don't my game?
You are in danger of having to actually pay Timmy.
I know.
I'm just trying to give you some constructive feedback on how we can improve the podcast, and you can do it by being a little bit more charming, a little bit more, be funny, be engaging. Is that too much to ask? These people are spending their valuable time.
Listening to you drone on and on at this point.
Yeah.
They'll spend their valuable time listening to us. And at the very least, you can try to put a little effort in. Don't mail it in. That's all. Sometimes you mail it in. That's what I'm saying.
Well, first of all, our listeners don't know what melanin is. They think...
Is it like melatonin?
Melanoma. Is that one of those things that you take to sleep?
Okay, and now you're just being harsh. You're just being mean.
What about melanoma?
That does not reflect well.
So I'm going to try not to be the melanoma.
Okay. Brandy, we have a sponsor.
We do have a sponsor, an actual real-life sponsor. I know, right? So, there is a young lady that I know that works for a company that they sell wonderful products, lotions and body scrubs and all kinds of different. It's natural.
So Buffalo Bill would probably use some of their products.
Yes, he would love it.
Are these lotions sexual in nature?
No. They could be, I guess, but they are not.
Are they slippery?
Meant to be.
Depends on where you put it.
Are they slippery?
Again, it depends on how much you use.
And where you use it.
And where you use it.
Well, let's hear more about these lotions and compounds
I will tell you. The company is called Perfectly Posh, and it sells a line of all-natural, like I said, lotions and, hair conditioner and all kinds of things like that.
Do they sell natural oatmeal soap?
I don't know anything about your skin condition. They do have a website.
The colonel does not have a lot of hair for hair conditioning.
No, he does not. But they do have a website that you can look at.
What the?
Like he has any place to
Mr.
talk.
Kevin,
I'm fair.
Anyway, they do have a website for you to look at. It's www.poshmylife.com. You can get catalogs, you can book parties, you can do all kinds of things there. All their stuff is under $25, so it's not very expensive. And just check it out. Like I said, I use her stuff all the time, and I really, really like it.
And do you use it for sexual purposes?
I wouldn't tell you if I did, but no.
Well, I'm going to look into that, because the Colonel, you like to use the oatmeal soap.
Well.
As you know, the Colonel has sensitive skin.
You have shingles.
It's not shingles, and it's not scabies or nothing. I just got some sensitive skin.
They do have things for sensitive skin. It's all natural, and you can look it up. I like to use
all natural products. So I am going to be looking
Posh
that place
life.
Up.
PoshMyLife.com.
And what's your friend's name?
My friend's name is Tracy.
Tracy, thank you. Tracy, we hope that you get a lot of customers.
And if you want to learn more about the Colonel's existence, you could look up FuckMyLife.com. I'm pretty much at the top of the page there all the time, but
gotta go.
You poor baby. Yeah. You poor baby.
So we when we last left things, Timmy.
Yeah. Well, let's do some shout outs.
We was talking about the devil's lesbianism.
What?
Wait a minute. Before we do that, let's give her shout outs and then we'll talk about her lesbianism.
Shout outs. I got a couple shout outs. Okay. I have not given a shout out to Storm in quite some time.
And our good friend
and
Storm.
His faithful owner.
Mm-hmm. Knut.
What the hell?
He just takes over.
Am I talking too slow? What are you doing here?
You are talking a little slow.
Okay,
it's late in the day. People are
engaging.
Yeah. We can get this ball rolling.
Knut, how you doing, brother? You're out there. We miss you.
Yeah.
That's Storm.
Drop us a note. Drop us a note, Knut.
Lady Beverly. Mm-hmm. She's very interested in our political process over here because she's in England where I don't believe they have elections. I guess they got queens and junk.
Yeah, prime minister.
Yeah, but I think the queen appoints him. I'm not really sure how it all works.
No, Sarah Palin.
Dumbass. I can see Russia from my porch.
So I got a shout out to her. So, Lady Beverly, thank you for listening again. I am going to give a shout-out to Allie because she, that psychopathic, lunatic, crazy-ass woman.
She's big down under.
I guess she's big down
under. Unlike the Colonel.
I'm big down under. So, me and her are both big down under. Allie has switched to Team Colonel.
No, I don't think she has.
She put it in writing on the page.
Yeah.
I'm tell you who I would give a shout out to because she's a regular, she's on our page a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But she's mean to the Colonel is Kim Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
When you decide to become a little bit nicer to the Colonel, you get an official shout out.
Kim Taylor's a very nice
You know what?
We're gonna give a shout out to Ryan and Caitlin though, because they're just the cutest little damn kids you ever seen.
They are. And you know what? Everybody on Team Brandy gets a shout out.
Woohoo!
And of course,
Brittany and Chris.
Well, yeah, Brittany's a hysterical little girl. She's something not right with that child. Something not right. Brittany, get your tiny little ass to church, please. Get to church, girl.
You in church?
The girl.
He stepped in one lately.
No, I. You know you. She talks and tells me, you know, every once in a while. People send me messages. I don't know if people send you messages. I assume they do. Well, they probably don't send them to you because you're kind of boring. You ain't much to talk to me. But anyway, the devil, I know you got your little evil minion followers.
We have cheesecake and wine. I don't know what else there needs to be.
And did we out? She didn't post what she was. I told her I was going to give her time to come clean.
Yeah, but don't go there.
Okay, you got one more time. One more time. The next time I'm outing you. Brittany, tell us what you did for a living.
Former career.
Her former career.
She's a nurse now. She's doing
She's a nurse,
work.
Yes. Chris.
Also, then it doesn't matter.
Chris, you be careful with that girl. That's all I can tell you.
Oh
be careful
gosh.
With the girl. Well, she's crazy.
Okay.
The girl crazy as hell.
Also, let me give some quick shout-outs to Celine, your good friend Celine, there in Michigan.
Loves me.
Tigers fan. Stephanie Q. To Lee. To Missy. To Bree. To Tasha. Francis. Trixie the communist.
Love Trixie.
I do too. I love her. The fact that she's a communist. Erica and Eric. Alicia. Mary Ray. Katchna. Elise. And Rebecca, who is on Team Timmy, by the way.
And I just wanted this noted for the record. You always skip Charlie.
Charlie, I'm sorry.
Why are you always skipping Charlie?
Actually, Charlie was very...
I was going to mention Charlie.
Charlie was very helpful to me because...
because you ain't got... You don't know how to do any of this shit, and she's trying to help you
through it. Yeah, exactly. She's helping me with sound issues.
From a technology standpoint, you're the worst producer maybe in the whole world.
In the world.
Well, see, I like to think of we're catching our conversation, and we're not editing it, and we're not, you know...
We are not editing.
we're not, you know, this is not some slick Hollywood Hollywood production. This is this is all natural.
One thing's for damn sure, it ain't no slick Hollywood production. It's not even a slick
Cincinnati,
Hattiesburg, Mississippi production. I mean, it ain't
okay.
Ain't nothing slick about this except the lotion.
But
the devil here.
We're gonna get on to our topic. But if you would like to join us and with all the shenanigans that go on, check out our Facebook page. We have two. We have the History Dweez Facebook page where we post history-related topics. But we also have the History Dweez, the podcast page. That's a that's a group. And you can ask to join that, and you'll get join a group with a bunch of us who listen to the podcast, and there's a bunch of fun folks on there. So if you get a chance, join on Facebook, join the History Dweebs, the podcast group page. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so let's move on, shall we, and talk about Carl Eugene Watts. Although I do want to give a shout out to our good friend Bob Meir.
Oh, Bob, yeah.
Yeah.
Bob was just finishing up the Sistine Chapel. I believe he's going to do the Statue of Liberty, throw a coat of blue on there.
Bob Meir's since painting, mm-hmm. been in stroking for 27 years.
Smooth stroking for 27 years. Give me smooth strokes. Smooth.
All right, let's talk about the Sunday Morning Slasher, shall we?
I guess that's what the thing's about.
Carl Eugene Watts. No. We're jumping into this story, Colonel. We had a topic. Something came up last time. We said we were going to follow up
on. We were going to follow up on, and it is the devil's lesbianism.
Yeah, because I think we kind of brushed over that.
We glossed over it.
Why are we spending time on this at all?
Well,
were a lesbian, which I am not, there's nothing to talk about.
We're not
about.
Saying you're a lesbian.
It's like I'm one of your kids.
We're not saying you're a lesbian now.
I have never been a lesbian.
Not this minute.
Not this minute. There is no lesbian activity going on because you're the only woman in the room.
Unless, I don't know who you're texting there, so.
But we, listeners,
on who you're texting.
We don't want to make a big deal out of this. We just want to listen. Did decide.
Yeah.
Now, the devil played college softball, which leads me and Timmy to suspect, there were some shenanigans.
Yeah.
Right?
There's nothing wrong with it.
And there's
perfectly
nothing wrong
normal.
With that. Yes, exactly.
We just want details of it.
We did want the sorted details. So we asked the devil, come on, tell us about your lesbian life while you played college softball.
When was your first lesbian experience?
And here's how she reacted. She just put her hands on her face, dropped her head back, and went, no, I'm not telling you.
Which would indicate there's something to tell.
Now, a person who had no experience would say, I have no experience to tell you about.
Right.
But she said, no, I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
So, being the detectives that we are, we deduce.
We are, inquiring minds.
You are not going to just slip that by us.
So, just tell us about your first lesbian experience.
I have no lesbian experience.
Now, you don't have to be ashamed. We're very loving and open.
Yeah. We're pro-lesbian. We're very pro-lesbian.
I write them checks. So tell us. Yes,
I paid for a lesbian wedding, for God's
you
sake.
You did, didn't you?
Yes, I did. So, I'm pro-lesbian.
I'm pro-lesbian. We're all friends here. Friends of the lesbians.
I'm glad. I am friends to many lesbians.
Tell us about your first lesbian.
I am
lesbian.
Not a lesbian.
Did you have like a pillow fight with
Did you have teddies on?
No, I picture like in like these boys' boxers.
Oh yeah,
and no shirt, mm-hmm. and then they're having
hitting each other with
and
the
breasts are just bouncing,
and then they get done, and it's like, oh, Brandy, your hair so messy here.
Are we about done? I'm so gross.
Let me brush
out
your hair.
Why is that gross?
Years.
That is
no,
natural.
No, listening to you two talk about it is gross.
Well, it's not in my mind.
It's not in my mind.
Yeah. You want to be anti-lesbian, that's up to you. Colonel and I are pro-lesbian.
Yeah, we're pro-lesbian. To have any lesbian listeners...
And you have some video you want to share?
Want to share stories?
Yes. Please.
Have any problems you want to discuss?
Yeah.
No.
To Colonel and Timmy? We are licensed social workers.
We are all ears.
No. I'm an ordained minister.
I'm an ordained minister?
I'm a licensed social worker, actually.
I know you are.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not really licensed, but...
Yeah.
but I got a bootleg license.
Yeah.
It's like being a
cab driver. It's not bootleg. That's legit.
No, a modern-day minister is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Randy and Cronor are both ordained ministers. So if you have a lesbian wedding that you would like to plan, they can officiate it.
Yes, we could.
Yeah. And if you have lesbian stories you would like to tell, the Colonel and I are open to listening to them. And
if you would like...
You might find it cathartic.
Could we start this
I just bought,
fucking
you know what,
story
I just bought
already.
A new camera last night.
Uh-huh.
Really nice camera. The
You're
Nikon.
Willing to film them?
Well, if you want to share, if you want to capture the special moments of your lesbian honeymoon,
you're
the Colonel available.
Okay, yeah. You're a good man, Colonel. Okay, so...
Just letting you know that I've recorded some of this and gone ahead and put it out.
Well, she gone rogue on us.
No, don't be... Now, that violates... You're violating our copyrights by doing that.
No, I'm not.
She's okay, let's talk about... Let's talk about the Sunday Morning Slasher.
Please,
okay?
Can't wait for the love of all that's cannoli.
Yes. Carl Eugene Watts he was also known by the name Coral...
Coral?
Yeah, C-O-R-A-L.
Well, that's stupid.
Well, he was...
So is the kid on Walking Dead.
Well, man, I don't know. He was an American serial killer dubbed the Sunday Morning Slasher because many of his attacks took place on Sunday morning.
While people were in church.
Or, yeah, getting ready for... Yeah,
should have been in church himself.
No, I don't think he killed anyone in church. If the people
well, he
had
been in church.
If the victims
had he been in church.
Had the victims been in church,
yeah,
they wouldn't have been...
None of this would have happened.
Yes, but anyway... No. He is now suspected. He's suspected of killing more than 100 women, which, if it's true, would make him the most prolific serial killer in American history. So, that's a big
story.
Did
you give Tara a shout-out today?
No, but hi, Tara.
Hi, Tara.
The murders occurred in Michigan and in Texas between 1974 and 1982. That's 8 years for you, Brandy, if you need some help with that. An 8-year span.
You can't make the girl do the math in her head.
I know. Carl Eugene Watts was born in Fort Hood, Texas, on November the 7th.
Fort Hood?
Fort Hood, Texas, on November
I like
the
Fort Hood better.
On November the 7th, 1953, to Richard and Dorothy Watts. He was African American. His parents divorced when he was 2 years old. After the divorce, Carl began spending a lot of time with his grandmother.
So he's from a broken home.
Yeah. His mother relocated to Detroit from Texas to Detroit, and as I said, he spent a lot of time with his grandmother, who also that's where they were from.
Timmy, can I just interrupt you for 1 second?
Of course.
Sure. We failed to mention to our listeners that we are dedicating this show to Merle Haggard.
No, we're not.
Yesterday. Yes,
I'm
we
not
are.
Dedicating it to Merle Haggard.
No.
Yeah, he's gonna sing us back home. Sing me back home.
Okay.
And the other one is this aberration because most serial killers are white in their 30s. And
you know, you're right. But there is, if you do a wiki list of African American serial killers, there's a lot of them.
But right. Proportionately.
Yeah, proportionately, you're right. It's mostly people like you.
It's his computer.
So,
all right. So, come on. Tell me more about...
Well, tell us more. Well,
tell me more about
Watts. We're on the edge of our seats here.
I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
Tell us.
He moved to Detroit with his mom, and he spent more time with his grandmother, as I mentioned. Now, his grandmother later told the Houston Chronicle, that's a newspaper, Brandy, that...
Piss off! What is it today?
That even as a young child... Carl enjoyed hunting and skinning rabbits.
Well, who doesn't?
Wow, that's cruel and unusual.
Shh, be very quiet.
During his childhood, he developed meningitis. You know, when I had to get my tonsils out, they put a kid who had meningitis in the very next room, and my parents threw a fit.
Could you stick to the story?
I'm just telling you, it's very contagious. So if you have meningitis...
These side stories
please go right to the hospital. Go right to your doctor. See a medical professional if you have meningitis. That's my public service announcement for today. Because that, Brandy, meningitis is a disease. And he suffered high fevers resulting in learning disabilities.
We which is also a disease, Tim.
Learning disabilities, Brad.
A learning disability is just listening to Tim talk. Then you can see.
As a young man, Carl.
Carl. Would you get stuck on his name there?
Well, I was going to say Watts, but I don't keep saying Watts all the time. As a young man, Carl was described as polite and soft-spoken.
So he was a wussbag.
No, he was just a polite young man.
And just so the listeners decide, if they decide to Google him, his name is Coral.
No, his name is Carl Eugene Watts, but he goes by the nickname of Coral.
But, yeah, you just said it right the first time. You've been saying Carl.
Whatever. No, his name is Carl. That's his given name is Carl.
But his nickname is Coral?
Yeah.
Coral, yeah.
Oh, well, lovely.
When he when Carl...
I'm not nearly high enough to do this podcast today.
When he was 13, he was a teenager, he was infected with meningitis that caused him to be held back in the 8th grade. I think I mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you...
Upon his return to school, he had difficulty keeping up with the other students. But he was athletic. He had athletic ability, and he participated in the Golden Gloves boxing program. I know you're familiar with that, Colonel.
The Colonel is, yes.
He participated in that, and although academically he was considered below average,
I know you're familiar with that, Devil.
Yeah, that means
that's what I said.
That means you are not. That means you are not keeping up with your peers, Devil.
Yeah. So anyway,
you are my peers. I can say.
Instead of just redirecting his anger to this boxing, he was an angry young lad. He seemed to, the boxing team seemed to intensify his anger. So it didn't get the result. They was hoping that, he would go to boxing and kind of get some of his aggression out, but it seemed to intensify his aggression. At school, he would started receiving failing grades. That means he was not doing
What's
well.
A failing grade?
Failing grades?
And
failing grades. So he started to open his fucking yapper at me, getting ready to tell me what a failing grade was.
As he was reading at a third grade level by the age of 16.
Yes! Doesn't sound failing to me.
He suffered severe bullying at school.
What?
Which, is a surprise that he was bullied because
he was a whippy ass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, during his adolescence, he began to stalk young girls, and he's believed to have killed his first victim before he was before the age of 15. While working his paper route, he got a paper route. I had a paper route, and you know what I had trouble with? Rolling up those papers. I had a hard time folding them so that I could throw them.
Yeah, that's a
And then they give you this big, big white bag that you have to carry around on your bike, and it's hard to pedal with that big white bag.
It's hard to pedal?
Actually, you tie it in a knot up in the top so it stays at your hip.
I didn't do that.
Okay. Because he was felling behind.
I'm just saying it was not easy being a paper boy. It's a challenge.
That was the Colonel's first job. I used to deliver papers at... The man would pick me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we would drive around the neighborhoods, and I would run the newspapers. You know what I hated most? Mm. The old people that we called them porches.
Uh-huh.
They had to have the newspaper on the porch.
Yeah, so you just kind of did a drive-by and tossed
we
it
We do
out
drive-bys and we throw them out, but then there'd be these some bitches that wanted them on the porch.
Yeah.
And get out, get some exercise.
Right.
For Christ's sake.
Well, that's why there's a bunch of old dead people. That's why people die.
They'd still be alive today if they were to walk out.
All right. Not enough exercise. So anyway, he was a paper boy. I don't know what that has to do with anything, actually. I know what it has to do. That while on his paper route, he knocked on the apartment door of a woman, and he attacked her when she opened the door. This was when he was 15. On June 29, 1969... Watts was arrested for sexually assaulting a 26-year-old.
He liked older women.
Joan Gave was her name. She's a victim, so don't make fun of her.
Well, she gave.
I bet she canceled that fucking paper subscription.
The coupons just weren't worth it.
When Watts was tried, and he was sentenced to the Lafayette Clinic, a mental hospital in Detroit, When arrested, he told police he just felt like beating someone up. So
I know who hasn't at different times?
I mean, Brandy's—that's Brandy. How she feels about it?
I know she liked that.
According to a psychiatric assessment, Watt was revealed to suffer from mild mental retardation. That's what they called it then. Don't jump on me for not being politically correct.
What would they call it today?
Developmentally delayed, I guess, with a full scale IQ of 75. So, you know, little above where Brandy is right now. And he had delusional.
What is it? You know what? And this is a serious question. They say, you know, developmentally disabled with an IQ.
75, wasn't that where Forrest Gump was when his mother had to sleep with the principal to get him in regular class?
What is, I wonder what the cutoff is on IQ.
I don't know, but 75 is not very high.
And you say the devil's what, 73?
I think she's in the low 70s.
Twatmonger.
I am a twatmonger, I admit it. Monger from twat to twat.
You're a twat wanderer.
I'm a wanderer. Okay. He also had delusional thought process.
Well, who's that? You know, more and more, who's this sounding like to you?
I'm telling you, this we could just scratch out Carl Watt and put Brandy.
Put the devil.
Yeah.
Wow.
But other than that, other than his low IQ,
he's
very, very intelligent. Other than the 75 IQ.
Did they just call him borderline retarded?
Yeah, they say it's what it, I'm going to read it. It says, through the police interrogation, found that other than his low IQ, they found him very, very intelligent with an excellent memory.
So he can't add, but he can remember things.
Within 3 months, he was evaluated and placed on outpatient treatment. So he attacked this girl, and he was out in 3 months. In his final review, the psychiatrist, a Dr. Ainsworth, stated the patient is a paranoid young man who is struggling for control of strong homicidal impulses.
Oh, no.
His behavior controls are faulty, and there's a high potential for violent acting out. The individual is considered dangerous, and then they release him.
He was released. And again, Timmy, as you described that, is there anybody coming to mind?
Yeah, I know. We're sitting right across from him. So he spends 3 months in a mental institution, and then they release him with, you know, so this doctor can later come back and say, I told you so.
Have you spent any time in a mental institution, Devil?
Yeah, let's talk about our mental illnesses. I think the listeners would like that.
There's not enough time. With you sitting at the table, there's not enough time.
Well, we've talked about my challenges before, but how about you, Brandy? Have you been diagnosed?
My challenges are sitting here with you fuckers.
Have you spent any time when you well?
What medication do you take?
Let's not say this. When you was in the hospital, was it voluntary or involuntary?
Yeah. And were you in a lesbian only hospital?
Yeah. Did they give you the electric shock? And did you try to say, "Oh, shock me down there"?
You can answer both of those questions, or just one.
Just one. Yeah. Truth or dare?
Are you done? Is it my turn?
No. I'm still gone. Don't rush me, please.
I would like to because I would like to go home.
No, I just want.
Right. When we're talking, just tell us, do you currently take any
court-ordered medication?
Or not even court-ordered. Do you currently take any medication for your mental health issues? Yes or no?
All of my medication is purely recreational.
Okay. That's fair enough. Colonel?
Me?
Yeah, I'd like to know all the medications that you're taking.
I take
besides Viagra.
I take more medication than my pharmacy has to offer most of the time.
Better living through pharmaceuticals,
yeah,
I say.
The last time I had to do a pee test, Timmy, it was blue when it came out. So
the man has more Xanax than anyone you'll meet.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
In your life,
the colonel has some anger issues.
Yeah,
and they feel that keeping the colonel keeping the colonel relaxed is a
good thing.
It's a good thing for society.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, he should have done the same thing with Mr. Watt, because he was released after just 3 months after attacking this girl, and they released him with this diagnosis of having strong homicidal impulses. Seems to me that would warrant a little bit more follow up, wouldn't you think?
You would think.
You would think. Do you have the urge to kill, Devil?
Yes.
Have you had thoughts of hurting others?
You people.
Oh, okay.
That's not nice.
That's pretty normal, though.
After all we do for you?
You motherfucker.
Hey, yeah. Made you famous.
It made you famous. Got you on a team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably like the other softball team. I mean, I think they're probably...
Ooh.
No, I mean,
I'm not going along with that statement.
No, I just mean Team Brandy.
No, just stop talking.
Are you saying that women, they can't be strong women without having women?
I think that's what he's saying, Tim. Right.
I just want to be clear. I'm not on board.
Are you subscribing to that, Tim?
No, I'm jumping off that bus, okay?
No, all I'm saying is I understand there is a large contingent on Team Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bunch of batshit cackling hens is what it is.
Well, yeah, they are. But they're nice people.
They're wonderful people, but they're just
and all beautiful.
Crazy.
They're all beautiful.
Yeah, ain't an ugly one a bunch of them, yeah. Is there?
Mm-mm. Okay, so... So Watt grew up on the move. He was attending public school. He attended public schools in Texas, West Virginia, and Michigan. He finally finished high school in Inkster, Michigan, which is a Detroit suburb. I bet Celine knows where Inkster is.
Sphincter?
Inkster.
Inkster? That's like that inky girl you dated.
Yeah. That tried to kill you.
She did not try to kill me.
Oh, she should have.
Yeah. I don't wonder what happened to her. Anyway, Watts continued high school after his release from the hospital, and he was involved in sports but continued to decline academically. He turned to drugs, he became a loner, and was often disciplined by school officials for his volatile behavior with female classmates. He graduated at the age of 19, and he was accepted, oddly enough, to Lane College on a football scholarship. But due to his injuries, he got injured the first year. He had to he lost his scholarship. And he returned back home to Detroit. Despite a tested IQ of 75, he was admitted to Western Michigan University at Kalamazoo.
Where their standards are not that high.
Apparently not. And was enrolled there when he started acting out in his violent fantasies against women in October of 1974. Prior to attending the program there at WMU, he was again evaluated at an outpatient facility where it was determined that he was still a danger and had a strong impulse to beat up women. Again, Colonel.
Who's that sound like?
Yeah. Yet due to the confidentiality policy, staffers were unable to alert authorities or the colleges, the college that Watt was attending, or professors that were in his class. Sort of like that guy at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Giovanni, who was the... you guys know who Nikki Giovanni is?
No.
Yeah.
She's a poet from Cincinnati,
African-American. Yeah,
okay. And she taught the guy, I forget the guy's name, in Virginia Tech, the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to the faculty, she went to the administration and said, I don't want this guy in my class because he's clearly psycho. And she wouldn't teach. And she wouldn't teach a class until they got him out of the class. And then shortly thereafter, he shot up to school. So what happens next with Carl Watts there, Brendy? Otherwise known as the Sunday Morning Slasher.
Or Coral.
Coral.
Which I would like to call him.
Feel free.
His time as a serial killer began when he was 20 in 74. He kidnapped his victims from their homes, tortured them, and then murdered them. On October 25th of 1974, Lenore Kinzaki answered her door and was attacked by a man who said he was looking for Charles.
That Charles?
Yes.
She Is Charles back. There?
Yeah. She fought back and survived.
Avon lady.
Landshark.
Well, that might, Landshark. You know, maybe she should have told him that there was no Charles there instead of just start fighting with him.
Well, maybe. That's, I don't know. Maybe she was...
Oh, you're saying he assaulted her.
What time did he knock on the door?
Sunday morning.
Doesn't say.
It was Sunday morning.
Oh, because he was
it
the Sunday morning
that.
Slasher.
Yeah, otherwise it would be the Sunday mid-afternoon slasher.
Okay. 5 days later, on October 30th, right before Halloween, Watts tortured and brutally murdered 19-year-old Gloria Steele. That's believed to be his second victim. Gloria Steele had 33 stab wounds to her chest.
Wasn't she an author?
No, that was his sister, Danielle.
Oh, okay.
A witness reported speaking with a man in Steele's complex who again said he was looking for Charles. Will you just get a hold of this guy already?
You know, I think he meant to be in... He probably should have been in South Vietnam looking for Charlie.
Yes, that would have been much better. Diane Williams reported being attacked on November 12th under the same circumstances. She survived and managed to see the attacker's car and make a police report. Watts was picked out of a lineup by both Kinzaki and Williams and was arrested on assault and battery charges. He admitted to attacking 15 females, but refused to talk about the Steele murder. His attorney arranged for Coral to commit himself into the Kalamazoo State Hospital. Which I think sounds a little bit too much fun.
It does.
Kalamazoo, yeah. So the hospital psychiatrist investigated Watts' background and learned that in his previous institution, Watts was said to have possibly killed two women by choking them. And he diagnosed Coral with antisocial personality disorder.
Well, when you're killing people, ain't that kind of definition of antisocial?
Well, you would think, yeah. So, prior to Watts' trial, he had a court-ordered evaluation at the Center for Forensic Psychiatry in Ann Arbor.
Did he keep his appointment?
He did.
Oh, good.
He did. The examining doctor described Coral as dangerous and felt he would most likely attack again and was found competent to stand trial.
This motherfucker walking around the street, every doctor that sees him says,
yeah,
he's the scariest son of a bitch I ever met. They just keep with it. But go ahead. Go ahead on out. I'll see you next Tuesday.
He pled no contest and received a one-year sentence on assault and battery charges, but was never charged in the murder of Steele. In October of 79, Watts was arrested for prowling around Southfield. Sorry, a Detroit suburb.
Prowling?
He was prowling?
He was
probably peeping.
Was he like on all fours, low, and tail all pass, all shaking?
He looked like a puma, yeah.
Yeah.
So those charges were later dropped. And the investigators did note that during the previous year, five women in the same suburb were assaulted on separate occasions, but under similar circumstances.
Now, I wonder if your property values drop if everybody getting raped in the neighborhood.
Right.
Well, it couldn't help it.
I mean, it can't help.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know.
The schools are really good.
But you can't step outside without getting your throat slit. None were killed, nor can any of them identify their attacker. June of 1976, he was out of jail and back home in Detroit with his mother, of course. Ann Arbor is 40 miles west of Detroit in the home of the University of Michigan. Evidently, that's just a little tidbit that Tim wanted to put in the script to make sure you all knew.
Home of Celine.
It's a tidbit.
It is home of Celine.
On Sunday, October 6th of 1980, the Ann Arbor police were called to the home of 17-year-old Shirley Small. She'd been attacked and repeatedly cut with an instrument resembling a scalpel. She bled to death on the sidewalk where she fell.
Oh, it ain't no worse than bleeding to death on the sidewalk, because then everybody that walks by, they get the blood in their shoes.
Yeah, it must be horrible for you.
Yeah, it is.
They're tracking it on the carpet.
Yeah, you're tracking on the carpet. You got to wipe the dog's paws off, get the blood off.
Yeah, that's awful. Okay. On April 20th, Sunday, April 20th, Glenda Richmond, 26, was found by her doorway dead from over 28 stab wounds. On April 27th, again a Sunday, Rebecca Greer, 20, was next. She died outside her door after being stabbed 54 times. Yeah, this fucker's angry.
The local newspaper. Do you get where they get the name Sunday Morning Slasher?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to. Yeah.
Okay, because they're occurring on Sundays.
And in the mornings.
Yeah.
Right.
Some bitch couldn't go to church just like everybody else. Yeah.
The local newspaper.
He might have went in the afternoon. He probably went to Mass later.
He went there late.
They probably did. Yeah.
You know what? I wonder now, if you kill somebody in the morning and you go to the afternoon service and ask for forgiveness, are you okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're forgiven.
Yeah, you're forgiven.
You're forgiven?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So the local newspaper actually gave him the name Sunday Morning Slasher because many of his attacks occurred on
Sunday morning.
There you go.
Yes.
They formed a task force.
Yeah. Did they have t-shirts?
As departments are wont to do.
Do they have t-shirts?
I believe they did. They were led by Detective Paul Button.
Did they put pictures of the victims up on a bulletin board?
And then run string between them to see? Yeah. I don't know. Let's see. They were investigating all the murders that occurred within 5 months of each other.
Okay.
The task force was dealing with no evidence and no witnesses. Sergeant James Arthurs contacted the task force after reading about the murders. He told them of his past experience with Watts and the similarities of Watts.
Yeah.
Seriously? And the similarities of Watts' previous crimes to those now under investigation. By this time, Watts working for his stepfather at a trucking company. He had a child, and then later met another woman who he married. In 79 and 80, attacks on women.
Well, he was quite the catch. Well,
big stupid guy who drives a truck? Yeah.
Well, you left off the part about him going around stabbing people.
Well, I'm going to assume for now that his beau did not know that that's what was going on. His boo. His bae. Yeah, she didn't know.
His hoe.
Well, whatever.
We don't know.
Let's see. The attacks on women in Detroit and the surrounding areas became more frequent and violent and similar in style. Police began to draw connections to other recent assault cases in Detroit. They connected October 8th of 1979. Peggy Ponchmara, 22, was strangled in Detroit. October 31st of 79, Gene Klein, 44, was stabbed at Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan.
Now, Jean is a name that could be a male name or a female name.
Yeah, it's a girl.
Okay.
March 11th, 1980, Hazel Conniff, 23, was strangled in Detroit.
Hazel, pretty much a female name.
Yes, thank you. March 30th, 1980, Denise, a girl's name, Dunmore.
Primarily.
She was 23. She was strangled in Detroit. May 31st of 80, Linda Montero, 27, was strangled in Detroit. September 14th, 1980, Rebecca Huff, 20, was stabbed in Ann Arbor. By May 1980, Watts was divorced. His wife stated it was due to his weird-ass behavior, which included his habit of leaving their home for hours immediately after they engaged in sex. So he'd get all hopped up on the sexy time and then go pummel somebody.
Well, yeah. I mean, most guys do leave home after sex.
There you go.
Well, stick around after that. Because it's only going to lead to you doing some work.
Those guys are leaving home to find sex.
Yeah.
Within months, attacks.
Can't cut you off unless she knows where you're getting it at, right?
Attacks in neighboring Wisteria, Ontario, Canada, they were being reported. They were the same nature as the ones that were taking place in Ann Arbor and Detroit. On a Sunday morning in July 1980 in Windsor, Irene Kondratowicz, that's just a hard name, 22, was attacked but lived after having her throat slashed. The following Sunday, Sandra Dalpy from Windsor, age 20, lived through being stabbed from behind. Mary Agnes, 30, of Windsor, escaped attack by screaming when she realized she was being followed. She picked Watts out of a photo lineup but was unable to say for sure that the attacker was him. I don't know why.
Well, you pick him out of a lineup, and then you can't say it's him.
Police begin to investigate Watts further and learn that Watts' car was recorded as leaving Windsor for Detroit across the international border crossing after each of these episodes.
Yeah, because they track it. Man, it's hard. They're a pain in the ass when you're crossing over into Canada and back.
Yeah, well, now Watts' picture is really big in the middle of their huge board of yarn.
Yeah. So what happened after that, Colonel?
Yeah.
Well, it's a mystery, Timmy.
No, it's not. It's right there in front of you.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you was just asking me. I haven't read this stuff. I'm going to read it right now and figure it out. So on November 15th, year of our Lord, 1980.
Which was right before Thanksgiving.
Right before Thanksgiving.
And it was probably right around Veterans Day.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been. An Ann Arbor woman, she contacted police after she became frightened when she discovered that a man was following her. The woman hid in the doorway, and police observed their suspect as he frantically searched for her. When they pulled the man over in his car, he was identified as Cora Watts.
Okay.
Inside said car, they found screwdrivers and wood filing tools. But the most important discovery, Tim, it was a book that had Rebecca Huff's name in it.
Yeah, it's hard to explain that away. Yeah.
Yep.
Hard to explain that one away.
Now, in late 19 January 81, Watts was brought in on a want to give a blood sample. Detectives took the opportunity to talk to Watts, but the interview ended without any confession, and the blood test failed to link him to any crimes.
Now, had he been experiencing bloody stool, they could have just waited until he used the bathroom.
I don't know why they didn't give him a reach around and ask, give him a get a semen sample, but I guess it's not allowed.
It's frowned upon.
That's frowned upon?
Yeah.
I thought they had special police people in the police department to do that.
Just what? For being a designated whacker?
The reach around unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they don't. I guess they didn't in that one. It was a small town.
That's what I reckoned.
Thank you, Siri.
So by that spring, Coro had enough of the task force. He made a move to Columbus, Texas, where he found work at an oil company.
So he says, I'm pissed off at you. I'm tired of you guys.
Fuck this task force. I'm getting out of here. People keep passing to me because I'm just killing an odd person here and there.
Yeah, I'm going to move to Houston.
Houston was only 70 miles away, and Watts began spending his weekends cruising the city. Now, detectives in Michigan forwarded Watts' file to the Houston police, who were able to locate Watts, but unable to find any evidence linking him directly to any of the Houston crimes. Mm-hmm. Then on Sunday, Timmy, on Sunday, September 7th, 1981, Lillian Tilly was attacked in an Arlington apartment.
What was her name?
Lillian.
Tilly.
Cannot use the phone.
Lillian.
Attacked in an Arlington apartment.
Cannot drive the car.
And drowned. So he was a Sunday morning drowner, too.
Okay.
Later that same month, Elizabeth Montgomery, who would later go on to be famous as Bewitched.
And died of anal cancer.
Died of anal cancer. But before she died of anal cancer.
That was Farrah Fawcett. Farrah Fawcett.
Well, before she died of anal cancer,
she died after
being stabbed in the chest while out walking her dogs. Now, I don't know what the fuck kind of dog she got. Because I know you come at me with a knife and I got the rutabaga. He gonna see what your ass tastes like. You know, that's what this woman's born. She probably had two of those little dumbass dogs you put in your purse, carry around. Ain't no fearsomeness about them. But you come at me with a knife, and Rutabaga, he gonna make small work out of you. Very fast, Timmy.
I know.
I'll tell you a quick story. True story about Rutabaga.
FYI, it's after 4 o'clock.
Okay, mister. This is something the listeners are going to want to hear. So I take Rutabaga up to a field, right? And he's playing.
Did you know Elizabeth Montgomery's was also known as Pandora Spox?
Mm-hmm.
You did not know that.
Yeah, she didn't have good hygiene. So anyway, Timmy, I got Rudy out on the soccer field, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a brief story if you don't interrupt me.
She was married. And, I mean, she was born on April 15, 1933. That was tax day.
You gonna let me finish this story, please, or are we gonna be here till 5?
No, please do. I'm just looking up the life of career.
So I got him playing out in this field, and there's about 4 kids down there playing soccer with a soccer ball on the other side of the
field.
She
got the colon cancer. And she had flu-like symptoms and got the bloody stool.
Okay, this is a good story, Timmy.
It was too late for intervention.
I doubt it.
No, it's an interesting story about the dog.
I doubt it.
But I'm going to keep going as long as Timmy keeps going, because I'll stay here till, because I got to stay here till 6.
So please continue, Colonel. We are in Timmy time, aren't we?
Yeah, we're on Timmy time. Please continue.
I got
the hell out of here.
I got. Okay, I got Rudy out on the field, on the soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
There's these 4 or 5 little kids down there playing soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy decides to cut through the soccer field.
I think you told this story.
Yeah.
I didn't tell it to the listeners. And you know Rutabaga ran down to the other side of the field where those kids were,
mm-hmm,
and backed the man off the field?
Wow.
Would you not let him on there.
You know another interesting fact? I've been here since 6:30 this morning. So if you could...
Old people get up early.
Please, continue.
So anyway, that's my point is, God, you come after me with a knife, Rutabaga gonna tear your ass off. And on our new poll... that you put up about what our new show should be, there is another category for Rudy the Colonel's Dog. So vote for Rudy the Colonel's Dog.
Yeah, and it'll be disregarded just like the other ones.
Yeah, it's not a democracy. But anyway, okay, so we got Elizabeth Montgomery of Bewitched. She got stabbed to death. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, shortly after that, we got Susan Wolf. Okay? She's 21. She gets attacked and murdered, and she got out of her car at her home. Now, that's kind of sucky to get somebody as they're getting out of their car, because she probably had groceries in her hand.
Probably, and then she's got to lock her car door and all that. Probably keys in her hand.
But she got attacked.
Not helpful. Not helpful at all.
Yeah, now he decided he wanted a 3-way, and on May 23rd, he attacks roommates Lori Lister and Melinda Allgaier. Ties them up and then attempts to drown Lister in an apartment. That what is drowning people? What's he think? It's just less messy or something?
Probably.
But while he was doing this, Aguilar was able to escape by jumping headfirst off of a balcony.
Yes.
Yeah.
I bet that didn't hurt at all.
It probably did, but now Lister was saved by a neighbor who heard the commotion, and Watts was caught and arrested. Now, the body of Michelle Madej, who you had talked about before, was found the same day. I'm sorry, you didn't talk about her. Drowned in a bathtub in a nearby apartment. Under interrogation, Watts refused to talk. He was like, give me a lawyer, see? I ain't going to say nothing to you, see? So anyway.
Is that Eric G. Robinson?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm not going to talk to you, coppers, see? So anyway, the Harris County Assistant District Attorney Ira Jones made a deal with Watts in order to get him to confess.
What was the deal, Colonel?
Well, incredibly, he agreed to give him immunity to the charge of murder if Watts would agree to confess to his murders. So, Jones was hoping to bring closure.
That sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah, there was 50 unsolved murders of women in the Houston area. He was hoping to bring some closure. Mm-hmm. Now, Coral eventually admitted to attacking 19 women. With 13 of them, he confessed to murdering. Now, by the time it was over, Watts had admitted to 80 additional murders in Michigan, Jesus, and in Canada, but refused to give details because he didn't have an immunity agreement for those murders.
Well, I can understand that.
Coral pled guilty to 1 count of burglary with intent to kill, Timmy. So now, Judge Shaver decided that the water in the bathtub should be constituted as a deadly weapon because he was trying to, you know, drown a woman in there. Maybe he was just trying to find out if she was a witch like the devil. You think that could be, Timmy?
I'm capturing Brandy playing Candy Crush.
Oh, okay. Video. So anyway, the judge, he decides, you know, the water's being used to try to kill somebody. It's a deadly weapon here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on September 3rd, Watts was sentenced to 60 years in prison. Now, in 1987, he tried to escape from prison by slipping through the bars. Watts decided to begin appealing his sentence, but his appeal lacked the support of his attorney. So back in October 87, unrelated to any of Watts' appeals, the court decided that criminals must be told that a deadly rights finding may occur during their indictment
and to do so fail to do so violates the criminal's rights. In 1989, the Texas Criminal Court of Appeals decided that because a judge failed to inform Coral that the bathtub water could be deemed a lethal weapon, he would not be required to serve his entire sentence. Ugh. Watts was now eligible for retroactive good time earned equaling 3 days for every 1 day served. We should do that here at work. Work 1 day, get paid for three.
I like it.
Because I do 3 times a year work, most people.
No.
Now, this would mean that Watts was going to get out of jail in 2006 after only serving less than 4 years. Now, Lawrence Fossey, whose wife was murdered by Watts, is fighting the release with every possible legal maneuver he can find. Now, in the meantime, Michigan never agreed to the plea bargain. And they decided to try him for the murder of Helen Dutcher. Houston detectives also were reopening some old cases, and one was a 14-year-old Emily Lacroix, who Watts confessed to killing but was not given immunity for that specific murder. As reported by the Dallas Observer...
I mean, why did they give him that sweet deal where he confessed to 15 of them? And
well, because they figured they have, with the bathtub thing, they were going to give him at least 60 years. They took care of everything, and they were hoping to close up some of these murder cases.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the Dallas Observer reported last summer the families of several of Watts' victims met for the 20th memorial since his capture and incarceration. During the memorial, some learned for the first time the turn of events in regards to his early release. So in 2004, authorities made appeals to possible witnesses in order to try to convict Watts of murder, to ensure that he was not released, given that he had made it clear he would kill again if he ever got out. I'll do it again, coppers. That's what he told him.
Just like that?
Just like that. I'll do it again, coppers. Let me out, I'll do it again. Give me a knife. So anyway, a man came forward to say that he had seen a man fitting Watts' description fleeing the scene of the murder of Helen Dutcher, a 36-year-old woman who had died after being stabbed 12 times in December 1979. Watts had immunity from prosecution for the 12 killings he admitted to, but that did not apply to Dutcher. He specifically did not confess to that one.
Oh.
So Watts was promptly charged with the murder of Helen Dutcher, and on November 17th, 2004, a Michigan jury convicted him. On, and take special note of this,
okay,
2004...
Mm-hmm.
The year is not important, but the date is December 7th. What is so important about December 7th?
That's Pearl Harbor Day.
It is Pearl Harbor Day, but in addition to being Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 12-7, for you Europeans, I believe it's 7-12, that is the Colonel's birthday.
Really?
It is indeed.
What year were you born in?
I was born in 1963, Timmy.
And what was that Social Security number?
I do not recall. But on December 7th, the Colonel's birthday, he was sentenced to life in prison.
What were you doing that day? What birthday was it for you?
2004, let's see, take 16 away or 12 away. I can tell you exactly where I was at. I was at my friend John's house. They had a 40th birthday party for me. And I had told them that 40 to... They had a 40th birthday party. They asked me how I feel being old.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? 30 to 40 have been the funnest years of my life. And then the Colonel, believe it or not, turned 50.
I think you get, you and know what? You 50, really get laid a lot between 40 and 50.
You do. Yeah. And you do an awful lot. And
50, it starts to slow down.
No. And I said, you know what? I'm 50 years old now, and 40 to 50 been the funnest years of my life. So hopefully the Colonel hoping that 50 to 60 going to be the funnest years of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not a fun birthday for him.
Because what happened?
Because the 51-year-old Watts got sentenced to life imprisonment, ensuring that he would never be released from prison.
And thus...
The murderer that almost got away
and
with
is
murder.
Known as...
The bathtub murderer.
The Sunday morning slasher. Jesus.
The Sunday morning slasher.
Yeah.
But they should have called him the bathtub murderer because he did it in the bathtub a couple times.
Okay. Brandy, your final thoughts on Carl Eugene Coral Watts, better known as the Sunday morning slasher.
I have no final thoughts. He was a dick.
He was kind of a dick, wasn't he?
Yeah. Stupid dick.
And where can people find us, Brandy?
They can find us on Twitter.
At HistoryDweebs1.
They can find us on Facebook.
At either HistoryDweebs Facebook page or HistoryDweebs, the group page, HistoryDweebs, the podcast group page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They can find us on the iTunes.
Yeah, at iTunes. Just search for HistoryDweebs. Leave us a review.
And they can find us on Stitcher.
Yeah. And
you know where they can't find us?
Where?
YouTube.
Yeah, that's true because the Colonel has yet to...
We ran into a little problem with that, Timmy.
What was the problem?
Well, apparently...
And I'll just remind
keep
you...
Keep it brief.
Yeah, it's 4:17. I've been here for 12 hours so far.
there's a problem with... It seems the devil has been copyrighted.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And not by the real devil over here, by somebody else.
Well, you know, we posted some photos of her, and apparently she had some contractual obligations with Swank magazine.
Yeah, now we got a cease and desist from their lawyers, and we were like, we didn't show no boobies or nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, what my is gosh. The deal?
And they're like, no.
You know what? Don't use me so as I talked an excuse to the lawyer, for your inadequacies at work.
And we talked to the lawyers today, and Swank... And I believe it was Hustler.
Well, no, the problem was when they submitted, we tried to submit her picture to the Beaver Hunt section.
Yeah.
Hustler. That's when Swank got involved.
So. Yeah, but
we like to apologize to Swank. We did not know she was under any contract.
Yeah, because I sent the picture over to Biggins.
Right.
Because I knew she was under contract with them, and they said, no, you're just showing the face. You're good with us, you know. And but so, apparently the devil got contracts with all those dirty magazines.
Yeah.
So she's doing lingerie ads for JCPenney, too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yes.
So. Okay, Colonel, any final thoughts?
No, it was good spending a Friday afternoon with you guys. I'm going to get the devil. The redeeming thing about the devil is she keep a lot of candy around.
Yeah.
And she got some really fine malted milk balls in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go after some of them. But here's the takeaway from that.
Uh-huh.
That Elizabeth Montgomery got killed because she had two weak-ass dogs.
No, she got killed because she was probably eating too much, had too much fat in her diet because she got colon cancer.
Well, yeah, but before that, she got killed, too.
Oh, you're talking about the one that was a victim.
The one that was killed. So anyway... Get yourself a fierce-ass dog like the Rutabaga.
And the actress, Elizabeth Montgomery, may have lived if she had been more aware of her bloody stool.
Yeah, she might have. She might have.
How are you not aware that you have bloody stool?
Well, some people don't look. I say always look at your stool. Take a glance back there, even if it's a momentary glance.
So you're a stool connoisseur.
I'm a stool watcher.
Yeah, he is.
I'm a stool watcher.
All right. Here come one now. Here come
all
one.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening, people.
We'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.